Well, this is a segment we always wait for every week. He is Leroy Downs, and he is a jazz cat, and the site is www.thejazzcat.net. And I get tired of saying, I don't think I need to say that anymore. I think it's just thejazzcat.net. And if you go to that site, you will find just a number of terrific interviews that he has conducted with the jazz luminaries. And he has one such luminary right now with him. And I'll let Leroy the Jazz Cat Downs make the proper introductions. How you doing, Leroy?
Very good, Gary. And as always, you know, I tried to bring the best to the table. Today with me, I have one versatile, talented young lady that keeps it real and the music real as well. Her name is Miss Terry Lynn Carrington. Hey, Terry.
Hey, how you doing, Leroy?
Oh, very good. How are you?
I'm good.
Oh, beautiful. You're in Massachusetts now.
I am. Are you teaching at Berklee College of Music, and full-time there now, and made a switch from California to Massachusetts.
Yeah, well, you know, it's very hot out here right now, so I hope the weather is beautiful back where you are.
Yeah, it's not much better. So.
Well, you know, it seems like you've always been the drummer of choice practically your whole life. Is there some sort of expectation or some sort of prodigy pressure that goes along with your skills, either by you as an individual or the industry that knows your work?
Oh, I don't put any pressure on myself in that regard. I don't know if other people do or not, actually. I mean, people are always going to have expectations of you, and I think the best you can do is just do your best every time, you know, you do something and hope that you meet the expectations. Yeah, I'm probably one of my worst critics, so yeah, most of the time I think, oh, if I had just done that, or I could have done this better or that better, but, you know, in the end, you know, you just do your best and hope that that's good enough.
Well, you know, with you, I'm sure it is. You're always pushing the envelope to strive for better, and that's a beautiful thing. You're a couple years younger than me, but we both still have quite a bit of youth on our sides. Let me make that clear. But musically, you've accomplished so much from such a very early age. Is there a goal, or does the road just keep morphing with each new direction and project that you take on?
Well, I think, you know, life changes and then your direction in music changes at the same time. You know, that's the one thing that I always wanted to do is, you know, keep improving and honing my skills and conceptually as well. You know, if I were thinking the same way musically as I was, you know, 10 or 20 years ago, then that would be pretty stagnant.
Yeah.
And I think that reflects in your life as well as in your music. So, you know, I'm not sure how old you are, but I'll be 41 next month. So, you know, it's a different time period in my life, and it's time to slow down a bit, not be on the road so much, become more family-oriented. And so that's why I'm teaching now. But I think that a lot of people get afraid if they're not out there playing all the time, that they may lose something. And, you know, for me, I don't really think about it like that because when I was doing, like for a year, I did the Sinbad show, Vibe,
right.
Quincy Jones show, Vibe. But Sinbad was a host, and Chris was a host before him, Chris Spencer. But when I was doing that show, my playing actually got better, even though I rarely played. You know, I didn't go on the road for a year, but I felt like my playing was fresh again, you know, once I did. So I think it's just where your head's at.
Yeah. Well, your head's definitely in the right place. You're listening to my guest, Terry Lynn Carrington, on KRML Jazz and Blues Radio. The segment is called Live with the Jazz Cats. You know, I agree with you 100% that jazz is a spirit. You know, you don't play around when you put a band together. I got a kick out of listening to Ren Brown introducing you on that.
All right.
And I talked to Malcolm this morning, Malcolm Jamal Warner.
Oh.
And he was telling me that, you know, you put these statements together, but as he looked at it, he said, Terry, this is a poem.
Right.
Yeah.
He did, actually. I don't know what I expected it to turn into, but, you know, when he read it, I think he added one sentence. The only thing that I hadn't written is it says, jazz is a spirit, And then he said, can you hear it?
Yeah.
And I didn't realize how much, you know, the rest of it really was, you know, as poetic as it was. So that was very cool how he kind of came in and did that and put it together. Well, but, yeah, that project was a lot of fun. And, you know, I just called in favors from friends, basically.
Well, they all came through. When you think of that concept, jazz is a spirit, and you think of a visual of Wayne Shorter, what would you put together?
What do you mean? You're correlating?
Just correlating jazz as a spirit, and, you know, you think of the spirit of Wayne Shorter. I know he's a close personal friend and mentor of yours, so just if you had some visual of that.
Well, I think that, like, Wayne was a spiritual mentor of mine, as well as Herbie Hancock, and they both practiced Buddhism, and I began practicing this Buddhism as well when I started playing with Wayne, and it was actually Wayne and Robin Eubanks that got me into it. And I just started looking at playing music differently once I started working with Wayne. And then that just kept going once I started working with Herbie. And they're kind of from the same cloth.
Yeah.
So, my growth just kept, I kept developing. And the spiritual end of it is basically not separating, you know, life from your art or life from music or life from really anything. It's all interconnected. So, the Buddhist practice is really... just a life philosophy. So Abby Lincoln was actually the one that penned that phrase, jazz is a spirit. I've actually talked to Wayne and Herbie about the spiritual aspect of their playing, and I don't think they really looked at it like that. I've never really heard them label their music spiritual as a Coltrane or Pharoah Saunders or, you know, Diane Reeves. They may have like a connection with their music that they would label spiritual.
Sure.
Whereas Wayne and Herbie never really did that. But it is because their life philosophy, their religion, is directly connected to their music. You know, so for me, the biggest aspect of that is when they said they're not trying to play music anymore, they're trying to play life. That was a really hard concept to grasp. And then one day I was playing with Herbie, and he said, you're doing it. You're finally doing it.
Wow.
You know, after years.
No, that's deep. That's deep. And that's a beautiful concept and way to create art for sure.
Mm-hmm.
This is Leroy Downs. You're listening to KRML Jazz and Blues Radio on the segment Live with the Jazz Cat. I have with me today Miss Terry Lynn Carrington. Now, you've been musical director on the Arsenio Show and productions like The Recent Billy and Me, Artistic Direction, and a clinician for the Berklee College of Music, where you now teach full-time. You've worked and collaborated with so many different artists on so many different projects, as well as your own. Is there one thing that stands out as the most creatively rewarding for you, either playing or writing or producing or directing?
Well, before I answer that, one correction is I wasn't the musical director for Arsenio Hall show. I was just the drummer in the band. Michael Wolf was actually the musical director.
Okay.
But you're right, I did musical direct the Billy and Me project recently, which involved Nancy Wilson and Joan Osborne and Rita Coolidge, Diane Reeves, and Nikki Harris. So that was a lot of fun. But as far as what you just asked me in creativity, I think the highest level of creativity for me has been over the last 6-7 years of playing with Herbie Hancock, especially in quartet, acoustic quartet format. When we do the electric stuff, it's, you know, a little more groove-oriented.
Right.
So when we do the acoustic band, it's definitely the highest level of creativity. See, I could say the same thing, you know, with Wayne Shorter. That was a very high level of creativity, but I was younger when I played with him, and that was still when he was doing more of the groove-oriented electric side of his playing.
Right.
And now he's gone more acoustic, and, you know, it's even more creative than it was then. So, for me, you know, I really enjoy playing all styles. So, you know, I don't care if, as long as it's great, you know, the people I'm playing with and that we're holding true to the idiom, I don't really care if it's electric or acoustic. One of my favorite gigs was playing with Herbie, with Marcus Miller and John Mayer and Kenny Garrett and Roy Hargrove. And it was the Headhunters, kind of a return to Headhunters project that we did last year. And that was, you know, just as much fun. Not the same kind of creativity.
Well, I was going to ask you about that. You know, there's future to future, possibilities, Gershwin's world. You know, Herbie's concept as a musical thinker is so vast.
Right.
You know, what was it like to play, be part of something that's carving new creations and enlightening audiences to open up their ears to a changing sound?
Well, I mean, the thing is, Herbie just, he can never, you know, he's one of those guys that just will never be stagnant. He will always try different things, have different projects going on. You know, he's doing something right now with, what's her name? I think it's Lily Hayden, violinist. Matt Garrison, a drummer that plays tablas and as well as, you know, some traps, a combination of percussion and traps. So that's going to be a whole different sound. You know, if you did Possibilities and Future and Gershwin, they're also different, and that's, you know, kind of how he's directed his career these days, is really trying to come out with something very, very different each time he goes out. And I've been very fortunate to play with, four or five of those configurations at least.
Right.
And it's been a great, you know, learning experience. And I really relate to that because I like doing different things. And when I, you know, do a CD or, you know, write music, it's all over the place. The same way I write, like, singer-songwriter types of, you know, folk pop types of tunes, as well as, you know, jazz stuff that's, you know, very left of center. So he's a big influence on me, and I think that I try to be like-minded, you know, with him.
That's definitely the person to be like-minded with, for sure. You're listening to Leroy Downs on KRML Jazz and Blues Radio. The segment is called Live with the Jazz Cat. Well, I hear a little spirit in the background right there. Who's that?
His name is Dorian, and he's a new addition to the family.
Well, you know, Abby Lincoln said Dorian is the man with the magic.
Oh, really?
Yes. Oh, that's a beautiful tune on an album by Abby Lincoln, one of my favorite, Dorian. You should check that out.
Oh, wow. I'll have to do that. I've never heard of that song.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. He's a man with the magic.
Oh, great. And she's one of my favorite singers. So. Oh,
mine, too. My goodness. Well, you know, I was in New York at IAJE in January, International Association of Jazz Educators, and Robert Glasper was playing. But I was hanging out with Eric Harlan in the back, and all of a sudden, Terrion Gully was there, and Kendrick Scott, and Nick Hutchinson, and this other cat named Jalil, all these great drummers, and I took a photo. I wish you were there, too.
That sounds like a nice picture.
Yeah, I'll send it to you. Who do you think is the next cat with the mad drum skills?
Oh, goodness. I don't know how to answer that question. Wow.
I know you see a lot of them. You work with them, so.
Yeah, I have a lot of talented students. But, you know, it's hard to tell, you know, who's the next anything, really, until it's proven. You know, there's so many young, even prodigy types, that whose future's just not told until it happens.
Yeah.
You know, so it's very difficult for me to do that. I have some very talented students, and then there's, you know, a lot of great young drummers coming up in New York.
Right.
You know, so I just kind of let it unfold, and I just watch it and get inspired as they come.
Well, we're all inspired by you, and I just want to thank you for taking the time out of your day, and little Dorian for hanging out with us right here on KRML Jazz and Blues Radio.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Gary?
Well, thank you very much, Leroy and Terry. One quick question. You mentioned there's some young and up-and-comers coming up. By the name of Gavin Reed Salmon, who actually mentioned your name. He was taking lessons from you at the Thornton School of Music at USC. And
That's right.
And do you remember Gavin?
Oh, God, yeah. He was one of my favorite students. Yeah, I just ran into him, actually, in L.A. I was doing a rehearsal, and I saw somebody peeking through the door, and I couldn't see the whole face. And then it was Gavin, and I got so excited to see him. And I haven't heard him, at least over a year now.
Well,
I'm sure he's sounding even better. He was definitely one of my stars.
He was, and he was remarkable in terms of he was under the instruction originally with Andy Weiss here, and then with Kim Edmondson, and then when he went to USC, of course, with you, Terry Lynn Carrington, and when he came back here, he had improved it was such a drastic improvement.
Wow.
Yeah, and he's performing with a group called the Brotherhood Quintet, but he's always a very humble individual. So.
Oh, yeah. He's a beautiful spirit, and a lot of my USC students were just really, really strong drummers and strong students, and I really enjoyed that time period. It's very different at Berkeley, just because a lot of the lessons are only half-hour lessons, and I have many more students. So it was sometimes it feels like it's better to have a longer lesson and less students,
Well, I'm going to play a cut from a live performance that he and his group, the Brotherhood Quintet, performed here at the Jazz and Blues Company. Gavin Salmon, one of your students.
So, All right.
You know, you can always tell the strength of an instructor or by their students, and he is certainly one of he certainly gives you a lot of credit. So.
I'm happy for that.
Well, thank you very much, Leroy. Thank you for letting me chime in here a little bit with Terry. You're listening to the segment Live with the Jazz Cat. He is Leroy, the Jazz Cat Downs, and his guest today is Terry Lynn Carrington. And if you want to hear the replay of this special interview, you can go to the Jazz Cat's website itself. It's on the World Wide Web at thejazzcat.net. Remember, it's .net. And you'll be able to hear all the great interviews on there, and this is another one of those. So please come back again very soon, Terry.
Thank you. I will.
And thank you, Leroy.
Absolutely.
And we'll be touching bases with you again. And stay tuned again next week, Tuesday. Leroy will be back with another guest for his Live with the Jazz Cat segment. We'll be right back with more from our For Locals Only program. It is Tuesday, July 18th, 2006, right here in beautiful Carmel by the Sea, California. We're in the Eastwood Building. You're listening to KRML Jazz and Blues Radio. Thank you.